Thank you, Jonathan. I've personally been watching the movement since the 70s. I've got a lot of information, and it's so discouraging that I don't open a lot of the mail that I get right now. But the fact is that it should not be discouraging to us. The Bible tells us, we're warned over and over in every place. And I've refused to talk about it across the pulpit because I realize that every message is recorded. But I really appreciate that, Jonathan, that you brought that to light. If we didn't have Jesus Christ, it would be doom and gloom. And if we're not willing to give up our life, it's going to be doom and gloom anyway. Because eventually, that's what it's going to cost some of us. So, I didn't want to add, or I appreciate you sharing with us this morning. And so was so very blessed, and I just appreciated the opening. I want to thank everybody for coming here this morning. It's a blessing. Worship and song, they was very stirring to my heart this morning. The songs that we sang. You know, I used to watch the notes so much that I didn't get the meaning of the song. But it's changed. And I get them both now. Well, you wouldn't know that I got the notes if you heard me. But I really appreciate the meaning of the songs that we have sang so far this morning. They're full of meaning. Song 39 goes along with what I want to share, and Song 22 affirms it. The worship in song is a blessing. I too would like to lead in prayer. If we will just bow our head this morning, and for a word of prayer, I'd like to ask the Father, Almighty God, to be with me here. Oh Lord, my God, please direct my thoughts, my tongue. Help me, Lord, that I can feed these sheep that you have brought in here through your word, through your truth, and through the love that you have for us and these sheep. Oh God, precious art thou. Father, would your peace rest upon us here today? And would there be a peace amongst us, just a rejoicing and gladness of the brotherhood and the opportunities that you've afforded us today to gather here in this place to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Blessed be thy holy name. Please guide and direct us, Father. Please be with us. Make us strong, O God. Make us fearless of the sins of Satan, and make us fearless of the unrighteous. And let us put on the armor that God has given us, the armor of light. And let us worship in spirit and truth this day. Thank you, holy and almighty God and Father. And we just pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Also wanted to thank you, Melvin, for your message on faith last week. And you know, it is impossible to please God without faith. And I don't know that it's possible to give a message to you people without talking about faith or faith being in it. It has to be part of it. We have to believe in faith in God to be His child. Do we see faith working in here? Have we stopped to think about it? Is there faith? Does faith work within us in here? I really think it does. I think it does. I think whenever you got up this morning, got dressed, got ready to come here, I think it was by faith. You walked through that door by faith. I think it's working. Let it be ever evident in our lives, wherever we go, what we say, what we do. Sorry, Melvin, I didn't want to add to your message. That was not my intent. We must believe that every promise that God made to us is true and will be fulfilled in due time. We also heard about John the Baptist, one of my favorite quotes in the whole Bible is from John the Baptist. It says, "Behold the Lamb of God." This Jesus, this Lamb, this Jesus does take away the sins of the world. And we can hope and rest and assurance in this quote. Now, as we behold, here is an imperative mode expressing a command. Not just a glance, but keep your eyes fixed on the Lamb of God. I probably have more of a testimony than a message today, but you know, I'm still fairly active in the grocery store, and so a couple of days a week I still get in that semi and check it all out and raise the hood and see if there's oil in it and thump the tires and check the lights and get ready to go down the road, you know, after another load. There's not a lot of thought to it. But this can mean sometimes a couple hours of driving. And in this couple hours of driving, I find my mind at work. If I'm not occupied, there's one billboard after another. So it's very common for me to be listening to a song or to listen to a message. I figured out that when I'm listening to something good, my mind did not wander so much. I happen to have a set of John Dee's messages from the book of Genesis. This particular day, John Dee was reading chapter 6 in Genesis, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." This kept going over in my mind. And I see here that it grieved God in his heart. To the place that he destroyed man, and it repented him that he made them. This pricked my heart. 5 chapters before, he called everything good. Man, the world they were in, he called it good, everything he had made. But it says here that it grieved him at his heart. These are very, very strong words. The Lord has spoken against man. Very strong. So, when I caught that, when he said, when he read, that every imagination and the thought of his heart was only evil. The thought and imagination of the heart. Now, I don't know which comes first, the thought and then the imagination. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. Enos meaning mortal frailty or weak. We can see here that Adam and Eve named their son mortal fertility. When Cain was born, Eve said, I have gotten a man from God, from the Lord. I have gotten a man from the Lord. And here we see after Cain had killed his brother Abel, things didn't look so good. And they named Enos mortal frailty. Things were not looking as good as they had before Cain killed his brother. The passage goes on to say then, began man to call upon the name of the Lord. I don't know what that was like back then. But man began to call upon the name of the Lord. I know both Cain and Abel brought an offering unto the Lord. I've heard many, many different stories about these offerings. And we see that the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. I don't know much about how they worshiped at that time. I don't know how they worshiped at that time, but I've heard many commentaries and ministers and stuff preach about maybe smoke going up to heaven, or maybe one of them did and one of them didn't, or how that they knew that one was accepted and one wasn't. I don't know. I don't know if they had fire on their offering back then. But we just know that one was accepted and one wasn't. But we see here that they begin to call on the Lord way back then. On the name of the Lord, I should say. And the one part I remembered in John D's message was this. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thought of his heart was only evil continually. This started to go over and over in my mind. Imagination of the thoughts of their hearts. It was telling me that my thoughts and my imaginations were coming from my heart. Do we stop and realize that? That our thoughts and our imaginations come from our heart. It was telling me that sinful and lustful or wicked thoughts grieve God at His heart. God destroyed an earth full of people. I would imagine it was full of people. Men, women, and children. Why did he kill men, women, and children? Why did the first world go down? because of wickedness. And the imagination and the thoughts of their heart was wicked continually. In other words, I don't know if you've ever had a day where something went wrong and you thought about it the whole day long or not. But this wickedness was in their imagination and thoughts continually. So God founded it. So He destroyed an earth full of people with evil thoughts and imaginations. And I started to think about my thought. I started thinking about my imagination. It is very possible that there were large numbers that still worshiped the Lord back in the time when he brought that flood. They may have been worshiping God because it said they began to call upon the Lord, name of the Lord. But for some reason, the people had evil, sinful thoughts and imaginations. I don't know just how close the First World War was when it was destroyed to the time that we are living in now. But it seems we have some similarities. God only found one man throughout the whole world that He could show Himself strong. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We find that hard to believe, but we see here that if God was going to save the race and save the people, He had one person left. And He had to use him to build that ark, to keep seed from the first world to the second world. If Noah would have been corrupted yet, what would have happened? We probably wouldn't be here. If he was to destroy wickedness from the face of the earth. It says, Genesis 6:4, it says, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, that they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Another translation said, they were men of great reputation and fame, so on. I think it kind of sounds familiar with what we have today. We have men that are, they want knowledge, and they want, you see them wired up to their computers and stuff like that to help them think. We have men that want power of great, of renown. They were destroyed because of the wickedness and imaginations of their hearts. Does this seem like we might be talking about 2022 in any way? Where knowledge increases rapidly. We have the internet. We have our cell phones. Sports seems to be taking over here and there. We have other forms of entertainment. Everything seems to be geared for our attention. They want our time and our attention. Billboards. Thank goodness we do have a few good billboards out there, thanks to CAM. Everything in the store where I work is in a special package or a special wrapper to get your attention. The cereal boxes are painted up. The sayings, choose me. The little three-year-old child that's back there throwing a fit has noticed something has caught her eye. And Mama didn't think she wanted her to have it. But it's geared from there on up for everybody. the world wants our attention. The world wants our thought life. You know, some people dress in a way that they draw attention to themselves. Some people want your attention too. In the middle of all this, we need a healthy thought life. The world we live in is competing for our attention, for our time, for our thoughts. There's and you know, for myself, when I first heard in this and thought about it, I thought my thoughts were okay. They were okay. Not that I didn't think that they could be improved, but I prayed almost every day that God would direct my thoughts and guide my feet in the path of righteousness. But after John D's message, and the thought went over and over, the first world went under because of wickedness and bad imaginations and bad thoughts. Now, I didn't want to call myself wicked. And I didn't think my thoughts was all that bad until I started stopping and thinking every thought. Was it a good thought or a bad thought? Every time a thought came to my mind that I thought was bad, and I'm not just talking morally or lustful. If you're angry at your neighbor, and you have thoughts of anger or other thoughts that are not right, it's the same way. Every time a thought came into my mind that was bad, I thought of the of the outcome of the evil thought. So it got to the place where this was so much on my mind, the imagination of wicked thoughts, that every time a thought was there, I would say, that's an evil thought in my mind. That thought is evil. I would try to drive the thought away. I kept thinking, these people all died because of bad thoughts. They say light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles a second. I really feel that my thoughts are faster. It just seemed like bing. I started asking Jesus every time. I said, that thought is bad. Jesus, forgive me. Please, Jesus, guide my thoughts. Help me, Jesus, were some of the things I would say. I came to realize that if I'm going to change my thought life, it has to be dealt with the same way as any other sin. Because I realize that if I'm having evil or bad thoughts, I'm also grieving the heart of God. That was pretty heavy. It wasn't long after that that my thought life began to change. Those things didn't pop into my mind just on their own all the time. And I continued to practice those things, to practice a healthy thought life and to incorporate the help of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in making these decisions. I've been rejoicing, to be real honest with you. And one thing I would like to install today is we must believe the promises of God. We must believe every promise that God has made to us. It has to be real to us. We know them in our mind. Many times we know them. Many times we can recite them and remember them. That's not... doesn't get it. It's whenever we believe in our heart. And that's part of our life. Those promises, we got to have them. They got to carry us. They got to guide us and direct us. They got to have our attention. There are good things wanting our attention. God wants our attention. Let us think on His Word and promises always. Let's not just let our mind wander. Let's not just be sitting there idle. Because there's something going through your mind. So let us be conscious. Let us judge each thought. Let's not be idle. Be aware of your thoughts. And imagination. Be aware of them. Stop and realize. Stop and think of them. Let's take each thought captive. Pleasing God, let us invite God to help us in this endeavor to take each thought captive. We must believe that God is a rewarder to those people who diligently seek Him. I didn't want to leave a negative or a bad taste in your mouth. I didn't want you to think that I'm asking something of you that's not you're not able to do. So I'd like to read some scriptures and try to encourage us with this message. First John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive of Him. Whatever we ask, we receive of Him. Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing to His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments, and dwelleth in Him, and hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit He has given us. Most of us have probably felt that Spirit whenever the time we was converted. not just then, but today too. We are allowed to ask God every day, every morning, to fill us with the Holy Spirit, to guide and direct us through the Holy Spirit. That is one thing He wants us to have. I turn now to John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. If we believe on the Son of God, we have everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There's a very, very important promise. If we believe on the Son, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. In John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. This is a promise from the Lord here. That we as His sheep, if we abide with Christ, nobody can pluck us out of His hand. Now there is a possibility that you could probably walk out of His hand, but nobody can pluck you out of His hand. That's comforting. John 11:20, the account here with Martha. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus says unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha says unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do we believe this? Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Very encouraging words, and I want you to have these encouraging. In 2 Chronicles says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." We have some wonderful promises there. We have no excuse. God has made all provisions for us to live in victory, to be happy. Today and in the world to come. Thank you very much. May God bless you.